I say it all the time. This is a very fun podcast, but it's true. This one's very fun for me because it's Patriots hockey. And I was on Instagram the other day, come across Patriots hockey. I'm like, what the heck is this? And I look further into it. Come to find out, it's for active duty, reservists, and veterans that love to play hockey. It's a good way for people to get together and play a game from all walks of life. One thing I really think is interesting about it is the veteran aspect with the people on active duty coming together and doing some stuff, because there's so much information that gets lost in translation over the time while you're on in service and when you get out in that transition. And any organization that really helps you transition from military to civilian life, I'm all for. I think it's really cool. And I'll let them tell you more about it than me because they're professionals, but it was really neat how this all came together. The first half of the podcast is pregame because I went and watched them play down in El Segundo at the same building that the LA Kings play in for practice. Three of the team talk for a little bit about what's going on with the program itself. And then after, I won't tell you if they won or lost. I'll let them. But after the game, I sit down with a bunch of people just kind of in and out. So a bunch of other service members with different individual stories that are really cool. And I had so much fun. I can't wait to go back and get together with these cats and do this again and get each one individually on the podcast at one point or another, because every veteran's got an interesting story. And also this group is so inclusive. You have everything from Navy SEALs that had successful tours to people that got kicked out for making boo-boos first couple years. And you know what? That's how it should be. We should all be treating each other like brothers and sisters out there. I mean, I respect all those people that are still serving. God bless you so much. Thank you so much for all that you do. I've had everybody on here from construction to captains, and every one of you guys, I love you to death. So what's happening, Captain? And keep on rocking in the free world, everybody else. I'm just blabbing. Let's get this podcast. All right, bye-bye. Dig that background, really.
It's the perfect background for the situation we're in.
Yeah, like, fuck it, we're good, we're not moving shit, because it'll fall off.
No, let everybody see what we got going on the table with the with the drinks and the
electrolytes and alcohol.
Yes.
That's totally what, electrolytes and alcohol, this should make a common hockey room, that's what it should be all about. Speaking of common hockey room, friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I am here with
Zachary Daniel, Marine Corps, 2013-2019.
Adam Broll, United States Navy, Master at Arms, 01 to 06.
Bradley White, United States Army, 2nd Ranger Battalion.
All right. Hoorah. Got hoorah, hoo-yah. Yeah. Yay. Go team.
Yeah.
So this is cool. Not too long ago, for you ladies and gentlemen out there, not too long ago, I was just thumping Instagram, and I come across an ad, your guys' ad.
Yep.
And it was Patriots hockey, and for those that know, we'll get into it like right now. It's like my logo, it's got a rifle because it's in the background. I'll carry it with me everywhere I go, but I'm leaving the military behind, crossed over with a hockey stick, because that's teamwork, leadership, and friendship, and how you just learn how to work with everybody. And I saw Patriots hockey. I was like, what the heck, dude? This is awesome. Reached out to you.
Yep.
And then you hit me back up. And so please tell me and those folks right now watching, what's up with Patriots hockey? What is this all about?
So Patriots hockey is a all-military, active-duty, veteran, reservist charity hockey program. We don't care what branch of the military you're in. We do adult league hockey. We do charity games. We do tournaments all over the country. And then we also do community outreach events.
Okay, cool. So, like, and then you're also, I seen California, Colorado,
yes.
Virginia, and so where else?
We have, I think we have 8 teams, about to be 9 teams in Southern California.
Nice.
Ranging from all the way L.A. out here in El Segundo, all the way down to San Diego. About to start up a team in Orange County. And then we also have teams in Colorado Springs and in Norfolk, Virginia.
Nice, man. So you guys probably in Norfolk probably play at my old home, the Scope. So that's cool.
I think it's called the Iceland Family Skating Center.
Okay.
Something like that.
And you guys got an event coming up with the Kings and Leafs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we're putting on a charity game that we're going to be playing the Los Angeles Police Department. It's a rivalry that's growing, that's getting better and better every time we play them.
Yeah, the police have a rivalry with a lot of people. Now they got it with you guys.
Yeah. So that's going to be October 29th. It's going to be at crypto.com arena. I got to stop myself. It's not Staples anymore.
It's so hard not to call it Staples Center anymore.
But yeah, so we're selling tickets to the game. The money we're raising is going to charity. The little kids in the background.
Just for the people listening to the podcast, there's like a kids game going on down on the ice where these guys are going to play in a little bit. It's the Kitty Kings and the Kitty Ducks or whatever. And it looks like the Ducks won because they're going out there.
Oh, no. There's still 5 minutes left in the second.
Oh, they just scored. That's what it was. The Kings just scored.
They're going batshit crazy back there.
Dude, yeah. You think these guys were grown-ass people.
All right. So backtracking. Right. October 29th, we're doing a charity game. The Kings are playing the Maple Leafs at 4 o'clock. And then we're taking the ice right after that. We're going to be playing the LAPD.
Okay, so you're going after the game. It's not a pregame. Oh, that's cool,
we
man.
We like to do that. We like to do the post games because that way we could talk more people into staying for the other game. Instead of showing up at the rink at 2 o'clock in the afternoon for a 7 o'clock game.
That's cool. I've never seen him do that because I seen him do that like the old Red Wings, Joe Louis Arena, and they did Guns and Hoses firemen and police and stuff like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, this one's gonna be a pretty good event because we actually got a very desirable time slot. Some of the other games start at 7:30, and the game doesn't usually end until 9:30, 10:00. And then all of a sudden we have our game, which is, getting close to midnight when everyone's about to turn into pumpkins,
So, right. Yeah.
But the game's at 4:00, so it's still early in the night. We're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, so you get the matinee game, and if you got a good beer buzz going on, you might as well stick around and watch you know.
Plus, the good thing about having our game after the Kings game is we actually have our own booth out there, and we get to talk people into staying after and checking us out. And it gets us a better opportunity to promote ourselves, to have people stick around and check it out.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. So, how did Patriots Hockey come together? How did you guys put this to – how'd this start?
So, it started in 2011 in San Diego, actually. Our founder, Marv Flohr, was in San Diego, played hockey with a bunch of the dudes out here. Another one of the founding members is actually going to be playing tonight.
Oh, cool.
So, when he got out, he got into the LAPD, and then he plays for both LAPD and our team.
right on.
And then I told him – so, it started in 2011. My buddy Marv started the team. It started with, just a couple of guys and an idea, and then it evolved into this thing that just turned into a team and then eventually turned into a nonprofit, and then it turned into starting up multiple teams in San Diego. And then one day I got the idea because I was driving down from San Dimas to San Diego to play in beer league games and play in, charity games and whatnot. And I was like, what if I just started a team in Riverside?
Yeah.
And then I think in 2016 we evolved from San Diego to Riverside, and then we started up a Riverside team, started up a second Riverside team, then we started up an LA team, then we started up a Colorado team, then we started up an Orange County team, then we started up a Norfolk team. I mean, it took off from there, and now we're at however many teams we have. 9 teams now.
That's cool.
We just expanded 3 of the teams, the LA, Colorado, and Virginia teams, within the past, 18 months?
Maybe less? No, this year. Yeah, so because I remember making that TikTok for the LA and the Colorado teams this year and the Norfolk teams.
Nice.
Because those were post-creation of our TikTok account.
Yeah, and the Virginia team and the Colorado team, they were just enveloped into our program this year.
Okay.
So it was the LA team.
So were they like previous teams already and they just kind of
merged
together? Like the WHA coming in?
What it did is it just kind of shows, the camaraderie and how we are all drawn to each other as veterans. These teams were already veterans, from what I understand. Zach knows more of the details.
The Norfolk team started out with, again, 2 guys and an idea. Like, hey, we just seen these guys do this in Colorado. Why can't we do it out here? And they just started hitting up a rink. They hit up the Warrior for Life Fund, and they ended up getting bodies from them because they only do like practices and pickups and like learn to plays. So they got guys from there. And then with the Colorado team, they used to be the Avalanche Warriors, and then that team had a falling out. And then I kept in contact with a couple of the guys on that team, and they were like, hey, one of the guys, Doug, he was like, hey, Zach, I have an idea. And I was like, what you got, dude? What if I made a Patriots team out here? And I was like, all right, go on. And it just it took off. So,
right. And this is like in Colorado, right?
So, yeah. Colorado Springs. They
kind of like you. You were like, I got an idea. I'm going to start a team here.
Yeah, so they play at the Broadmoor Ice Arena Ice Hall, which is also the place where the Olympic team trains at. And so, yeah, but backstory, Doug is a Patriot as well.
Okay.
He's from Southern California.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's where he got
the whole. He basically stepped off and he went over there. He's like, I'm starting my own branch over here. That's awesome, man.
We have 9 teams right now.
Talking the mic.
We have 9 teams spread out through 3 states.
Okay.
But we have alumni probably throughout all 50 states. So,
all over.
Essentially, we could have any team pop up anywhere.
You know, the cool thing is like, if this keeps expanding and going on, you'll have your own old-timers games. You know what I mean? Which is pretty cool, you know?
Dude, you're getting into my brain now because I was thinking about doing something like that next summer. But yeah, like Adam said, we have alumni all in probably all 50 states. I haven't mapped it out yet.
Right.
Like geographically. But I guarantee you we probably have some in all 50 states. We have some in Japan as well, and we have some in Europe as well right now.
That's a cool thing, too. It's like, because we live a pretty much a nomadic lifestyle as an active duty or veteran. And so, like, this can go anywhere. And also, if you're reaching out to some of these people on the bases, you know, somebody's going to be, you know, Navy, you know, they'd be in San Diego or Marine Corps, you know, might be in San Diego. And next thing you know, they're in Sasebo or Iwakuni or Yokosuka, Japan. And they're just picking up on the ice rink there.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? Like a lot of the hockey programs, I mean, we're not the only military hockey around.
Right.
A lot of them like require a disability, maybe 10% at least. We don't. So what this does, like our IE team, which is, you know, Zach's baby, among other things, it draws kids from 29 Palms.
Right.
Camp Pendleton.
Fort Irwin,
you know, and these are active duty kids,
yeah,
you know, that grew up in Minnesota, you know, that grew up in Boston, and we provide that to them, that comfort, that camaraderie, that brotherhood, you know, so they can go from their buddies on post or on base,
yeah,
and they can come to us, and it's no different, and they get to play the sport they love. How many kids we got to come out? It's just...
Oh, man. Five. I would say active duty. I just did the math for this not too long ago, and then we picked up a bunch of players. But I think it was like 52% of our program is active duty.
Really? That's awesome.
That's the other thing with our program as well, is we're the only program that actively goes after active duty as well?
There's no, we're not the only one, but there's only 2 in SoCal, and then there's like the whole war. There's the Warriors, and that require the 10% disability.
Gotcha.
And you have to be a veteran. And then there's other teams. Like there's the off foot team. I think they're in Nebraska. I think wherever off foot Air Force Base is. Then there's the Red Legs in Boston. That's an active team, active reserve team. And I mean, there's teams all over the country.
Right.
And a lot there's. It's an undiscovered gem, I would say, in the hockey world. Like there's so many like active duty teams and like veteran teams all over the country. That
yeah, there's a he's actually the force master chief for the CPs, and when he was he went to Afghanistan. And he got like one of the big old Red Wings flags down there, and like had the whole thing, and it's hanging up in the chief's mess in Port Hueneme right now in the reef. Nice. Then it's like it's crazy because a lot of people, Americans, will deploy and will Afghanistan. You had a lot of Canadians that were there as well,
yeah.
And then they bring people in all the time. Their USO version, whatever, brings in hockey players as you know the celebrities. You know that's their Chuck Norris. You know what I mean? You know, rest in peace, Bobby Probert. But you know, people like that would come through, and that was always like really cool, man. So, have you done anything with like some of the Canadian guys or?
With the Canadian guys, I personally haven't. I don't know if they've done any. You guys have done anything on their during their active duty time? I've played against some Canadian military teams. I've also played against the Australian Defense Force.
Nice, man.
At a tournament in Vegas in 2016. Those are the coolest motherfuckers ever, and they probably have some of the sweetest uniforms in military hockey.
Australians are like the ultimate crazy. because no matter where you go, there's always one crazy Australian by himself on holiday. He's on holiday, mate. You know, and well, it's
not,
always
not even that. If you know, if it's in the military, then all of a sudden you have a whole battalion of them.
Yeah.
Pretty much just want to run for the hills. Like, I never, sports wise, I never played with any like Canadians or anything like that. But one fun fact about our team, starting today, we have a guy that was born in Canada, grew up in Canada, ended up going to the Air or the Coast Guard, got his citizenship, and now tonight is his first night playing with us.
Yes. I remember he hit me up on Instagram like 3 or 4 days ago. Mm-hmm. Yep, I remember.
Yeah, just a quick touchback. Those Aussies are nuts. Just,
yeah, dude.
Those guys are nuts. A couple of task force with these guys, and these guys are riding quads just pinned through like minefields.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're laughing the
just
whole time.
Just fall one way. If we go in a straight line, it's cool. We got your Vegemite sandwiches.
Right, or they'll level the town mm-hmm. with a Mark 19 in, like, because of pop shots.
Yeah.
And we're just... You know, so
for those who don't know, a Mark 19 is a 40 millimeter grenade launcher machine gun. It's huge. Yeah. It's great.
They'll wait for the dust to settle, and if they see any kind of movement, they'll redo it again.
Yeah. Yep. And so, like, what we're really focused on too right now is we're building and we're just reaching out to a lot more veterans. We're trying to build a lot more things just to make our family bigger.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely, man. So like. What's some of the, like, because you said charity events and stuff like that. What are some of those that you have done and have coming up?
What we have done, what charities have we worked with in the past?
You said you're doing events. So, yeah.
So we've worked with organizations like the Semper Fi Fund, the Mendelton Foundation, Warrior Built out of Lake Elsinore, Four Paws for Patriots out of Temecula. So we'll work with any sort of military-related 501c that's in the area.
Nice.
And then we also do like beach cleanups. We'll do blood drives. We got some big plans with the Kings as far as that's concerned. But we'll do all sorts of stuff. What else do we got? Yeah, we just had a golf tournament last weekend. Still coming down from that, by the way.
Yeah. We're just talking about our golf tournament. Good friend of mine, he's actually the director of Los Angeles County Military and Veterans Affairs. Good friend of mine, he just took the position. Before that, antecedent to that, he was the director of the mental health department. Mm-hmm. So he's a friend of mine. I've spoken on a few veteran suicide awareness panels for him.
Nice.
I'm actually one primarily, and you know, I let him know, like, I'll do another one. Some of the Patriots will. No problem. And so he fully gives us support. James, if you're out there, thank you. And he actually created the Veterans Peer Access Network in LA. It's a collaborative of nonprofits and resources for veterans and their families. So it's just this huge network that...
What was that called again?
The acronymized version is VPAN, but it's Veterans Peer Access Network.
Okay, cool.
So anything from benefits to... rent assistance for even just veterans, you know, they
right.
couldn't make their utility bill, you know, and so all these different programs that help them out, you know, so.
So to add on to that, Bradley, who put in most of the footwork for this, huge accomplishment as far as the program's concerned, but for military hockey's concerned, is he's in deep with the Lumberland to VA. I don't know, Brad, do you want to go into it or do you want me to do it?
This is
your baby, your cake. Go for it. Dish it out.
Who has the best story? Let's go with that one.
Well, I mean, after my first deployment, alcohol for 15 years, nonstop. I was a loser.
Woo-hoo.
Couldn't hold a job.
Yeah.
You know, my son's mom, poor thing, I put her through hell. She didn't deserve that, you know. And basically, I lost everything eventually. And I went through the VA, you know, I kind of... was a little bit afraid of their stigma and their reputation.
Right.
Which is completely false, by the way, come to find out through experience. They saved me. They saved my life. Went to rehab there. I still get active mental health treatment there for
trauma. Did you stay in, like, a domiciliary did you stay with them while you were going through your treatment and stuff like that, or?
Oh, no. I wasn't inpatient. I did an outpatient program.
Gotcha.
Because if you do inpatient, then they actually forget the policy, but you actually have to be classified as 51-50. And I said, oh, I can do outpatient,
yeah.
You know? And so, so that, and then, you know, I talked to a lot of veterans in there, just became friends with them. I still talk to them, you know, it was just that lack of connection to community.
Right.
And what we learned in there too is connections make for a better life and make for a better recovery. And, you know, and not every veteran has substance treatment or, you know, substance problems. You know, a lot, most of it's trauma or depression, anxiety, you know, whatever. We all suffer from a lot. And so, you know, Zach, you know, I'm still alive, only because of Zach. And, you know, he welcomed me back with open arms. You know? And, you know, my way of paying it forward is like, let's bring guys that were in those situations that I was in and that I'd noticed that needed help, bring them into our family. Because not only is, you know, our brotherhood, you know, through our service as powerful, but even hockey teams that didn't serve, there is that brotherhood there too.
Yeah.
And you
combine
the two and it's unstoppable. We all talk on a regular basis. It's not just business stuff, you know?
That's one of the things that I always talk about previously is that even no matter what, if as long as you reach out. I mean, you don't have to be like, hey, Zach, I got some shit going on. Even just be like, hey, Zach, what's going on? Just hearing a friend's voice sometimes. Oh, yeah. That just, you know, makes you feel so much better just talking instead of bottling that stuff up, you know. And comedy has always been my nervous, you know, energy thing. Like, automatically I'm on and trying to be funny and stuff like that. Internally, I'm like dying inside, you know, but I'm just making it sound funny, you know, and pretending like there's nothing going on. And I see that a lot with us vets, because we have the athletic mentality of like, no, coach, I'm good. I got to be in the next shift. I'm good. But when you put that uniform away and you lock all that stuff up, you're like, now it's time to say, hey, yo, I do need a little bit of help here.
Yeah.
You know, and alcohol and drugs, I always tell a lot of the people too, is that sometimes walk away from that a little bit, because all it is just you're basically adding, you're charging a negative battery that eventually it's going to either explode or it's just going to just rot your inside out, you know? So it's good that you did that, man.
Yeah, you know, one thing is I would say is like you have the core problem.
And right.
You add a blanket, you know, add a layer with alcohol on it, add a layer with drugs on it, add a layer with, you know, work problems, you know, and the more layers you add, the harder and farther you have to dig through to get to it, you know, to get to that core problem. And so, you know, humor, like you were just mentioning, humor is one of the most common coping mechanisms for veterans. We don't know how to process things we've done or things we've seen. And so the quickest way we can come up with it is try to make light of it and have a dark sense of humor and,
yeah,
you know,
cool.
And have the jokes where, you know, civilians hear it. Like, is this guy insane? You know?
No, but a lot of it, too, is like you're from being a Ranger, being a Marine, being a Navy cop. I mean, you know, being a CB is that you got shit to do. There's bad things that happened today. You know, whoever just hit an IED, they lost a foot. Somebody got mortared, but we still got to pour concrete and get this road up to par. You know, you still got to, you know, clear this AO for the next guys to come in. You just have to pull somebody over because I got a DUI.
Well, it's kind of like the conversation we were having, you know, before this all started. It's like everyone in the military is so hyper-focused on the job that they have to take care of. It's like even especially when they transition, all of a sudden they go back to, you know, they're 18 years old. They're having to learn life again.
Yeah.
And that's what I do with, like, my guys out here, like in L.A., is I always tell them, like, look, whatever you guys need, ask. If you don't want to ask me, ask someone else on the team. I go, if you want me to sit on the phone for you for 3 hours and just listen to you breathe, I'll do it. I go, whatever it takes, because that's what we're trying to do with, you know, especially with the Patriots. We're trying to get rid of that 22-a-day stigma.
Yeah, man.
Been there.
Yeah.
Been there, and the boys talked me out of it, and I've talked a couple of the boys out of it. I mean.
And that's the thing, too. It takes a lot of balls to fucking be honest about that shit. You know, I mean, I put a gun in my mouth before, you know, and it, like, you've been through some shit, and a lot of people don't want to actually say that out loud, but the more you say, hey, look, I've been there, too. Or maybe not as bad as you have or to somebody else, but then they're like, oh, shit, I'm not alone with these problems. And like we're talking about before, the reason why I do this, and thank you all so much for fucking coming on here, is because I want people to know that they're not alone with the transition, especially from, you know, military to civilian life and then, like, going through some hard times, you know. And
yeah.
I'll admit to it. I mean, hell, 2007, you know, I was similar situation as Bradley. You know, I was drinking a lot. I was depressed. You know, I stuck a 9mm in my mouth. Thankfully, I had a friend that talked me out of doing it, and I'm still here today. You know, that's the thing, man. Is that's, like you said, that's the one problem, is a lot of people don't understand that other people have been in that situation.
Right.
Some of us have survived it. Some of us didn't. That's what we want to counteract.
Some people 100%. Are just happy forever. They've never had a bad day. You know, mentally, you know?
Yeah.
And I always look at it like pineapple on pizza or black licorice. I don't understand either one, and I never will.
See, those happy-go-lucky people have never been in the military and don't understand what a bad day
is. Yeah, and then some of them people, they just like, I've never felt sad inside. And like, I never felt like I wasn't good enough. I'm like, wow.
Right. There's a quote out there.
Like, I don't understand black licorice or...
Devin says, fuck the bozos.
All right. Yeah, that's part of my outro on like okay. the Devin boy. Yeah. But so, yeah, man. But yeah. Devin, fuck him. All right. So
if I look back and if when I think about what we can offer as a program to veterans, active duty, you know, all of them, you know, and my transition to civilian life is I kind of look at it as a chauffeur at an airport.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have one. You're at a brand new airport. You don't know what's going on. You don't have a directive. You don't have a to-do list. You have no one there to welcome you. You're lost. You're trying to find baggage claim. If you do, someone's there waiting with a sign with your name on it, and their eyes are locked on that escalator or whatever.
That's a good way to look at
it. You know?
Yeah.
And they need you. They want you. And they take care of you. And that's what we want to be with, you know, our brothers and sisters.
Yeah, especially yeah.
That's really cool.
Especially the active duty guys, because when I was getting out, I'm gonna be honest. My unit, they didn't teach me shit about about any of my benefits, about any of that stuff. I was like,
it's like drinking from a fire hose.
I had to find out like all my VA benefits through my teammates, and they're the ones that you know I held their pocket walking into the VA with them.
Right.
And
it's like when I got out. You know, the Navy say here, sign here, fuck off,
get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what's cool about having active duty on this team, too, because that transition, you know, you go through GTEP, TAPS, whatever. I went through Camp Foster in Okinawa. I went through my separation stuff with freaking Marines, and, like, half the programs aren't even to me.
Yeah.
And it's just the whole thing was just like, oh, okay. And I get back here in the States, and I'm civilian. And
yeah, just this weekend or earlier... I'm sorry, later in this most recent week. So I'd say, you know, Wednesday or Thursday, you know, a lot of us go into first responder jobs. A friend of mine, you know, and I'm not going to say who or where, but he responded to 5 different deaths on post.
Oh, snap.
Just this weekend between overdoses and suicides. And he's crying on the phone with me. I'm crying because these are 19-year-old kids.
Right.
You know? And how many of them have played hockey? How many of them want to learn how to play hockey? That's what we can offer them. You know, and it's not just on the ice. It's off the ice. And, you know, I cried for those 5 kids. And he did too. And, you know, that brings us back to a place. And it really makes us focus, especially being a little bit older now than we were.
Right.
You know, and we're a little bit more established in our civilian lives. Like, what can I do to make a difference? Because that should be 0, not 5.
And that's the thing, too, is, like, being around a little bit longer, you understand that you're not alone in these cats, you know. And that's why, when you say, thank you for your service, a lot of times you're like, I know if when I was on active duty, I'd be like, dude, all I did was update my NCEPs and did a freaking online class today. I didn't do shit.
No, but someone would thank me for my service, and I'm like, I'm just doing my job. Like,
yeah, but realistically, for us that's actually served, it's like, you know, we know those sleepless nights, those lonely first couple, like, months and especially years, you know, first deployments and stuff like that, and then losing friends and shit like that. That's what we're thanking them for keeping it going, you know. And, you know, and that's where a lot of us can still look at the cats that get out and help them and be like, hey, look, dude, we know exactly what you're going through when you were there. We know what you're going to go through from here on out. That's what we, you know. I think it's cool you guys got this organization and stuff.
Yeah, and we have a good mix of the younger cats and the old guys that help. The old guys love, and it also gives the older guys a sense of purpose. Like, they're helping out this 21,
it's like being a squad leader
this
21-year-old
you know? Lance Corporal or Corporal that's getting out, and he's like, dude, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do with my life
after this. Right, man.
I know I don't want to be in the fucking Marine Corps anymore, but I want to get out, but I don't know what the fuck I want to do. And it's like, all right, hey man, like, what are you interested in? You're interested in building muscle cars? Are you interested in welding? Are you interested? Do you want to go into private security? Do you want to become a cop? Like, and it's just like, hey, it's just like, you're just like helping them out, making sure that you're helping out their transition as best you can.
We gotta get them focused on the next mission. Like,
yeah.
That's what they don't understand is like all of a sudden, like Zach's saying, well, what the fuck am I going to do? Figure out what that next mission is, focus on it, and get going.
Yeah, I was in that boat before where I was like, dude, what the fuck do I want to do with my life?
Yeah.
And then my buddy dragged me out. He's like, hey man, come work with me, you know, blah blah blah. You know, I'll teach you how to, you know, be a pipe fitter and blah blah blah. And then he brought me out, and then I was like, dude, this welding thing, this pipe fitting thing, this is kind of cool, dude. I was like, and then it just took like 2 weeks later, it just took off, and I was in a welding school.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this. I'm sorry to interrupt. I didn't know you know this. I was a steel worker.
Yeah,
that was my
I know. You told me we were texting back and forth.
Steel worker. Yeah. So yeah. That's my whole goal, was to be a fitter, you know, and I retired and got fat, and I tell dick jokes.
Yeah, and just, you know, reintroduction into civilian life.
Yeah.
Hey, we've been here. We're on the beaten path. You know, this is how we've done it collectively. It's not just my perspective.
Right.
You know, and so another thing we're doing, we're avidly building a veterans outreach department right now. And
you're
developing
that you're in charge of.
That I'm in charge of. I'm trying to be humble.
Under the bus.
We're developing relationships with we're already in with the Loma Linda VA, and we're, you know, supported and backed, and we're officially
recognized by the VA as a recreational therapy program.
Really?
Oh yeah. That's
no doubt.
That's
awesome.
This is all Bradley right there that made that happen.
And so we're working on LA, and you know, we have a lot of great people in our program that want to help and have the capacity to and have that drive, and so like, let's just do it all together. And another thing we're trying to develop too is when we get these new players, when we get these, you know, these youngsters transitioning into life or into civilian life, hey, are you interested in mental health care? I still get it.
Yeah.
You know, are you interested? Are you interested in getting your benefits? Because that's pay. That's probably going to go somewhere it doesn't need to go if you don't take it. You know?
Oh, totally.
And we want to walk them in and be like, it's okay. I didn't for 15 years, but now I do, and I'm glad I do.
Are you seeing a lot of people that they don't want to get the help because they're afraid of, like, they're taking it from somebody else?
Well, not even that. They still hear the horror stories of the VA.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of guys don't want to get into it. Like, they hear the bad stories more than any good story. So now they're worried about going to the VA because they're going to get the same treatment. Then all of a sudden, it's a long, dark road that we have to try and build them out of later. Like, I've only been with the organization a year and a half. And just the mental health that I've achieved here.
Yeah.
Just talking to these guys, playing with these guys, has been immense, more than I've ever gotten before.
Just having that positive mental outlet and that physical outlet. You know, hockey still keeps me in shape. I'm still playing 3 times a week at least, and having that mental outlet, like, hey, I don't want to bash my chick, but it's like, hey, I know Saturday night I'm going to be hanging out with the boys for 3 or 4 hours. I'm going to be hanging out with the guys, you know, and then on Wednesdays when my other team plays, it's like, hey, I know I'm going to be getting that mental break from real life, that break from reality for a couple hours where I don't have to worry about what's going on at home. I don't have to worry about some shit job I did at work. I don't have to worry about, you know, the bills. All I have to worry about is making it to the game on time and trying to stop the other team from scoring.
Yeah. Which is good, because then you just shut all the bullshit off and then turn this on, and you're with some like-minded people. And also, you guys, it seems like you're doing a good job of, like, getting more people involved, too. And it's just like, you know, because then the more you get involved, the more people you're helping. And it just, it's a ripple effect, really, because it's like, it just keeps on going out, which, you know, a ripple effect of positivity. And it's awesome what you guys are doing. Thanks, man. You just did some...
Yeah, like, with hands like that, you play for the gold.
For those that don't know, they can't see the flying gnats.
Flies that are
all fucking
like,
over
trying
here.
Trying to swat away at.
And he just does this Mr. Miyagi move,
but,
and snapped one right out of the air,
Josh,
and ate it.
To tag along what you just said, man, what we have accomplished as a team in the last year, I would say since Nashville 21, Nashville 21, what we've accomplished together as a team has been absolutely amazing. Everybody's putting in the work. I mean, it's crazy where we have gone from there to where we're at now to where we're hoping to be in the next year.
So what happened in Nashville?
We won the tournament.
All right. I wasn't a leading question. It was legit. Like
we won the tournament. And ever since then, it's just been like everything just kind of clicked with everybody. Like, hey,
nice, man. So these guys are fucking like, legit.
It was. Yeah. This is fucking legit. Yeah. And everybody
Cobra Kai is on the map.
Everybody started, you know, rowing in the same direction. Rowing the boat in the same direction.
That engineer Miyagi-Do karate and lit that rocket on fucking fire.
Yeah.
It's just been sky's the limit since.
I see it's 8:08. So 8:09. Okay. Should we start wrapping up soon or when do you? What's up to you guys?
Well,
what's
I'm
up?
Fat.
We gotta. Yeah, we do have to get ready.
So like, all right. So ladies and gentlemen that are tuned in, we'll be back.
Don't worry.
A game going on. And the audio people that are listening and not watching, we'll be back here in a little bit. Is there anything you want to say before we cut out?
I don't. I'm good.
This is a big important game. There's a lot of playoff implications with this one.
Okay. Any websites you want to play? Oh, go ahead, man.
Oh,
I'll cover that. Go for it. What were you going to say?
Man, anything I want to say just to anybody watching or listening, thank you for the support. Thank you for supporting Josh. Josh, wonderful guy. And for the veterans out there, like, we got you. There's help. You know, we still love you. When I'm on the ice with Zach or Adam, I got one eye on the game and one eye on their back.
Yeah,
you know, and that's how it always is. And I feel so much better. You know, even Zach and I play in other teams, I feel so much better when he's there. You know, just knowing that my dude's there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that
makes sense.
You know, just take care of yourself and it's all right. You know?
So now that you mentioned the websites, you can plug this in at the end or whatever.
No, it's right now. And then we'll do a whole horn break and go ahead.
So our website is patshockey.org.
Patshockey.org.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our Facebook is Patriots Hockey. Our Instagram, Patriots Hockey. Our Twitter, I think it's Patriots Hockey.
There's a Patriots Hockey underscore.
Team. Yeah, I think it's Patriots Hockey and there's an underscore in between. Please post links.
Oh, yeah.
Links.
I'll definitely post the links later, promise. So what's your guys' Pornhub? I mean, never mind. What?
Hey, man. That's my alter ego.
All right.
But,
well,
our TikTok is also Patriots Hockey Program.
Patriots Hockey Program.
On TikTok.
Awesome.
The best TikTok in military hockey, I might
fastest
add.
Fastest growing TikTok, too.
That, too.
Fuck, yeah. All right. Well, we're going to cut it. We're going to come back in a little bit. All right.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Cool. Just say something into it real quick.
Hello, Wisconsin.
Perfect. So I take it you're from Wisconsin?
No, it felt good to say right there.
Fuck yeah, man. Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I am here with.
I'm Brent.
Scott.
Brent and Scott, both from the Patriots hockey team. And what was your prior service, both you guys?
Yeah. Yep. I was Air Force from 2014 to 2017.
I was in the Marines, 84 to 88, and back in the early 90s and early 2000s.
So how did you guys get into the Patriots hockey?
You want to go first?
Sure. So you want to start from when I got out of service or when I ended up finding...
It's up to you. How much of a rush are you in? Because I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, I can try to make this kind of as quick as possible. So So I was Air Force Security Forces, military police, loved it. I loved that job.
One of my best friends was that, Sean Malik.
Okay.
So,
right, I mean, there's thousands
it's like,
of us.
So many of you guys. It's just like, hey, you're from Wisconsin? Do you know George? You know, so yeah.
Oh, you mean John Smith?
Yeah. I know Johnny. Anyways.
So I ended up getting out, not in the best of ways. So I was... ended up catching a charge that I wasn't, you know, expecting, and ended up facing a court martial. But then I ended up getting acquitted of all my charges, and I tried really, really hard to, you know, show them that, you know, I was a good airman. I bled the blue,
right?
And my command just, you know, didn't matter to them, and so they ended up sending me on my way, and so that ended up turning my life really like upside down. Where I spent, so I got out in 2017. I didn't have two nickels rubbed together to move back home. And then I was just lost for a few years. I was living out of my car for a short period of time, jumping from job to job. I had no purpose in life. I just started hitting the bottle. And then after kind of a wake-up call, I ended up deciding to turn my life around. And so prior to that, when I was a kid, I played hockey with my dad. So my dad actually coached my my minor league hockey team. And then my dad, he's 50 years old, and he still plays hockey. And then so
that's awesome.
He wanted me to play with him all the you know, all these years, but I just, you know, I was too much of a mess that he couldn't. I was unreliable, so he wouldn't, you know, want to bring me on the team. Finally, when I decided to, you know, turn my life around, and I have over 2 years of sobriety now, my dad was like, "Hey, man, like I'm ready. Like let's play hockey. You need something." So I ended up playing hockey with my dad and all his friends who watched me grow up at the age of like 7. So now I play with them here at this rink on a different night. And
oh, cool, man.
Yeah, so I've been doing that for about a year or two. And then one day I ended up meeting a guy that works here. He's 18 years old, and he's part of the same cadet program that I was. And he ended up telling me about the Patriot program. And then literally the next day, all of a sudden, I'm getting text messages and phone calls from the Zach Daniels, the vice president, and you know the captain. They're like, "Hey, we heard you're a veteran. We want you to come out and play." Blah blah. And I was like, "Yeah, I'm all for it." The very moment that I stepped into that locker room and I just shook hands with all the guys, it honestly felt like I kind of had my purpose again. It was it was weird. Like I felt like I was home. Yeah,
that's cool. So yeah, that instant walking in the door rapport.
Exactly.
That's one thing I love about veterans and like you guys. It's just hanging out. I mean, I haven't even fucking known you guys for longer than a couple hours.
Right.
You know, but it's still like it's like from the same hometown in a weird way. You know what I mean? That's how I always. And then just walking in the locker room, hanging out with you guys, I'm like, you just kind of feel like you belong, man.
Like literally, like the first 2 minutes, the guys are, you know, saying hi to me, what's up, where have you been?
Yeah.
And they're busting my chops within like the 2 minutes. And I was like, all right, like it literally felt like long lost friends that we like, you know, didn't miss a single minute with each other. And so I've been with the team for a few months now. And,
okay.
I'm all in it. And I'm excited to do the Vegas tournament coming up. And yeah, just the whole team and everyone, every player has, you know, welcomed me in with open arms. And just great team and just a great organization too.
What position do you play?
I'm currently a winger. My favorite position is left wing.
Okay.
I like to help out the guys. Like I may not be the top scorer, but my most specialty skill is like I'm quick.
Like I play utility.
Yeah, exactly, right?
I'm a winger, but you know what? Shit. I'll be goalie tomorrow.
Right.
And how long have you been with the team?
Just a few months.
A few months? Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I know my story's not so dramatic, man. Sorry to hear about your problems.
No, it's okay. It's all right. Dude, I'm happy that you didn't have to go through all that shit.
Yeah, so am I. Thanks. Yeah, I was just playing hockey down in the valley with a friend of mine, Jonathan, who's on the team, another Marine.
Right on.
He said, you know, I found out I was a veteran, asked me to come on and join the team. And I wasn't so sure. I mean, these guys are a lot younger than me, if I could do this. But I get out there and do what I can to contribute anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's fun. What position you play out
Defense.
There? Defense? Okay, yeah. Cool. D-man over here.
D-man, yeah.
So you said you did three different times in the military?
Yeah. I had a hard time saying no, so I kept going back.
Okay, yeah. It sounds like how some marriages work, you know? Like they just keep going back.
It was
back.
A lot like that, yeah.
I think that's my mom and my stepdad. Like,
thinking I was done, and then I wanted back in again. Yeah. So, yeah, I kept going back. Every time there was something going on, I wanted to go back and be part of it, so.
See, I never did that with the career path, like the military itself. I did that with my battalions, though. I'm like, I'm done with the battalion. I miss battalion. I miss how it is. Why did I come back to battalion?
You're in, you want out, you're out, you want in. Yeah, it's not a good situation. Yeah.
That's cool. Like, where'd you deploy before?
Yeah, I deployed at 4 deployments. I went a couple times to Asia and Mediterranean, Northern Europe, and Norway.
Okay.
Did the med float up there, the med float down in the Mediterranean. So, yeah.
Here comes Zach again. Zach Daniel. What's happening, man?
Zach Daniels.
Zach Daniels.
How are you guys doing?
Doing good, man.
Welcome back.
I'm back.
That's all right. Here, just knock over my camera.
Let me scoot over, get you in this room here.
It's all right. We'll fix it.
Kim Nan is watching.
Go, dude.
All right, man. So once again, we got three microphones, four dudes. This is how it works. So.
That sounds like a good Saturday night.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. This is like, that's how it always works.
That was fun.
Dude,
that was a fun game. Top team in the division.
Dude, you guys, all right, so what was the final score? Like 9? They didn't even put
8-2.
Yeah, they didn't put that final score on.
Yeah. They didn't put Langley's second.
Because like 3 seconds before the game ended, you guys scored again.
Yeah.
They got pumped.
Dude, that was that you got
I'll start some shit before playoffs.
I was sitting down there and I just heard, "Oh, yeah, this is a top team." And I'm like, "Really? How top are they?" You guys just destroyed them.
The one good thing especially about that team, and not all teams are like that. That team's a good team. And the thing that what makes them a good team, honestly, is their gameplay. They're not playing here, not here to play dirty. They're not here to play dirty. They're not here to, you know, check us hard or, you know, we all like a good physical game, but then there's times when that physical game, like, you're not expecting it, and then it just kind of turns all of us into like a, oh shit, all right, I guess we're going to be turning on the heat. So it's pretty great, playing with those guys.
Everybody has one off night every once in a while. So
if you want to see a physical game, come next Saturday when we're playing this team in the white. It seems like every time we play this team in white right here, the game always gets chippy.
All right, so
and I think these guys are going to be extra mad because of us winning tonight. That officially eliminated them from playoffs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
we played spoiler.
So like in the league though, it's not all everybody's. It's just your team's the veteran team. They're just it's basically a men's league, right? Yeah. And then they're just other like well, this is National Can or whatever. Whatever. Some other gotcha.
Dudes that work in IT or work for Lockheed Martin or whatever around here.
Hell yeah, Kelly Chase. He looked like Kelly Chase in his and.
Why don't I give up the mic? Give him a chance to talk.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to swap out here. Bradley White.
Cool.
We're going to bring Bradley in here.
Oh, we're both swapping out. No.
All right. So, yeah, we're trying to get, like, as many of the team in as possible as we keep going through. So, hell yeah. It's good shit.
Everybody on this pod is about to meet this fucking character.
Fuck yeah.
Mr. Corey Smentek.
And we are with...
Corey Smentek, the one and only.
This guy dressed up like a cowboy pimp. I fucking love this shit, man. Yeah. Like, you know what? He's got 1776 hoes in the stable. Look at this. You ain't messing around, man.
I'm here to fuck shit up.
That's it. You ain't taking names. You ain't messing around,
hell
man.
Hell no.
So, okay. Were you prior service? Like, what branch were you in?
Still in. Still in? Guard. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool, man. That's cool. Were you at branched out of?
Burbank.
Burbank?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I keep forgetting people actually live here, like, and serve here. You know, it's not like you come here after you're done. That's cool, man. How long have you been in National Guard?
A little over 2 years.
Sweet.
Went in at an older age, but
there's nothing wrong with that, man. At least you're doing more than most. You know. So what brought you into this?
I actually saw a post on Instagram, and I messaged this guy, and I'm like, "Hey, man, I used to play juniors back on the East Coast, and I want to get back on a team." And he's like, "Great, come on out."
Cool. Like, what part of the East Coast? Where are you from originally?
I'm from here.
Oh, okay.
I played in New Hampshire and Connecticut.
Oh, got you, man. Yeah. Okay, cool, man. Hartford Wolfpack.
Yeah, this guy's been an absolute character since we brought him in.
All right, so, like, what? So explain the character. Why? What's up?
Well, it's my birthday wrestling weekend, so I said I was going to wear my birthday suit.
He's a pro wrestler.
And I can't tell you my pro wrestling name. I mean, come on.
Okay,
now.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So I figured since I can't really wear that birthday suit, I'll wear my birthday jacket. You know, and with the golf tournament we just had, I golfed in this cowboy hat, and I told Zach, I was like, "I got an outfit for you tonight." So I thought it brought me good luck somewhat on the golf course, so I thought I'd bring it back again tonight.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
You guys killed him. Like,
pumped.
Great game.
And that's so that puts you guys in the...
I think we were locked in before.
Okay.
But that, like, for sure locked our fate into the playoffs. And I think now we're fighting this black team for third place now.
He's talking about the uniform colors, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, 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 yes.
Just in case if people listen to the audio on that, it kind of might have sounded funny.
In hockey.
Yeah. But black uniform team.
Yes. Yes, the blockheads.
That was a great game. Yeah, it's nice to see Zach out there.
That was fun. I loved how much of a non-factor I was in the game.
Oh, Why? You're still out there? He's got the 33 going on?
Yeah, but I was a non-factor, and that's how much I love. Yeah. It's my goal when I come out here is just be irrelevant.
Dude, if you're, like, relevant, you're relevant. You know what I'm saying?
No, I was,
in a hockey game?
I was irrelevant out here.
Dude, you don't really need to be relevant when you're beating them 8 to fucking whatever. 9 to 2? So.
But, yeah, man.
What would you say to people about joining this organization?
Great organization. You know, amazing all the everything that we do. You know, everything these guys do for, you know, vets and the community and everything, and bringing, you know, more vets and active guys together.
Yeah.
That's what brought me into it. You know, hockey's been part of my life my whole life. I love it. And now being a part of this, it's not only just an honor, but it's a privilege.
Fuck yeah,
you know, to be part of it. So if you can skate, if you can play, come out. We'll work with you. We'll get you ready. And there's plenty of room. And sounds like we're going to be expanding a lot more.
I'm stoked you guys are doing the whole Vegas thing coming up.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
I'll be part of the NMCV, Naval Mobile Construction Battalion 5 reunion party.
Yeah.
Going on at the exact same time.
It's going to be.
So I'm already in Vegas.
You're going to witness us in Vegas.
Do you guys just, I'll be your, like, hey, what is it, color commentator for you guys.
Dude, all right, November 10th, do you have any plans that night?
I don't know. I think I'm with the Battalion 5 guys.
Are you with them?
Yeah, what about, but I can always disappear. I don't know.
Till what time?
I don't know.
All right, so 10 to 1 a.m. at
I am Blondie. Pinky sworn on anything.
So 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. at Blondie's in the Miracle Mile.
Okay.
That, we call it Power Hour. We go every year. And it's $20 all you can drink.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. It gets absolutely dangerous. It gets wild every year.
Do they have all you can snort cocaine? It's Vegas.
I wish.
That's a joke.
I wish.
I'm just kidding. I don't like cocaine. I just love how it smells.
The second lady.
Second lady, young lady. All right, so what do you think about your hubs in the program?
He's doing great. He hustles every day, every hour of the day.
I think it's really cool. It's like, you guys, the social media presence that you guys put out, that's really helping this out. And then also, like, a lot of times, like, for since you're still, like, active, you get to be around people who have been in and done this for a little bit, so you know how the transition's not going to be as rough. Because, like, when you're on your way out the door, nobody really says, hey, here's all the benefits that you have. You know, you're going to have people like him and people like him that are going to, like, look at you and be like, hey, dude, you need a veteran service officer. You need to sit down and, you know, submit these forms, and it's going to help you out.
Hold
man.
My pocket.
What's that?
Hold my pocket.
Yeah, just like prison. Hold my pocket. Hold my pocket.
And it's really great how, you know, it's such a brotherhood.
Yeah.
Everyone's there for each other. If you're going through anything, you can talk to any of these guys, and it's great. So, you know, I encourage anyone who has, you know, served or still serving, if you can skate or even just want to come out and watch, just come support, you know, us vets and current guys.
Hell
come
yeah.
on out. You know,
I'll be your guys' Bob Uecker.
So I want to circle back to what he said earlier about come on out and, you know, coming out, even if, you know, we're working on bigger stuff with the Kings, getting more involved with the VA, with the community.
Right.
I can't spill all the beans yet, but we are working on something absolutely huge for the Southern California military hockey scene.
That's awesome, man.
So yeah. I would say, even if you have an inkling of interest of playing hockey, at the bare minimum, follow us, because I will say we are working on something absolutely huge right now.
I won't say the letters LSOK in the proper, like, terminology, or 5.59 in the proper.
Let me know.
I can always talk to those people and see if I can get you guys in the day-o rate.
Yeah. But there's
that's all Pig Latin, I think. I don't know, something like.
But yeah,
so we got Chuckle Fuckers over here. What's happening?
We got the team coming up.
I got it.
Right, we got more people.
Get in here.
He was in. Thank you, man.
I got birthday shenanigans. Go do.
Hell yeah!
Gotta go check. Try to get myself kicked out of some places. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah!
For sure, gonna happen.
We got these guys coming in.
It's Cap.
I feel like we're in a heavy metal band now. We got the beard going on.
Oh yeah.
So all right, you play drums. I'll play bass. You just do like some like. You know, Kerry King shit from Slayer.
I'll try.
Sorry. So you are?
Matt Langley.
Matt Langley. Josh O'Brien, nice to meet you. And then what branch were you in?
U.S. Army.
Army? Okay, cool. What'd you do in the Army?
I was a 19 Delta Cavalry Scout, but it was very short-lived.
Okay.
Another dipshit.
Really? Yeah. Well, hey, it happens. Like, how long were you in?
About 7 months.
7 months? Fucked up? Got thrown out? Or
injury leading to getting fucked up and getting thrown out.
It happens, dude. You know what I'm saying? And that's, again, the cool thing is, it doesn't matter how long you served. It matters that you did. And that's why we're all family here. You know what I mean? So that's cool. You get taken good care of by the VSOs or anything like that? Or no?
Nothing.
On that side of the house? So, which, fuck it. You know, that's fine. The thing is that that's another thing, too. It just shows how this is not segregating anybody from anything.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? It's so cool, man.
The fact that these guys let me play, given the record and everything, I can't even put words to it.
Yeah.
It means an insane amount.
What do you do?
Right now, I work security.
Oh, I'm on the team, but, you know.
Oh. On the team, I make everybody else look really good.
Okay, cool,
that's
cool,
my
cool.
Primary
you role. Just fall down. We have somebody that's completely invisible, and then somebody that's another non-factor. All right, cool. So you play defense.
There's a reason we call him the pylon for a reason.
Oh, really?
Now, that story is really good, Adam. Why don't you field that one?
So our very first Patriots LA game that we had, and we were actually, was our first ever TikTok for Patriots Hockey.
Okay.
Genius over here is on the bench throwing up into a cone, like a traffic cone upside down.
There were no trash cans around the bench.
Wait, hang on.
It's still down.
Do you see these cones that are behind the white bench?
All right.
Over here, team's bench.
Ladies and gentlemen, they're listening. Let me paint the picture. We're on the second deck of a training camp, basically, for the LA Kings. And where the bench is, right behind the bench, there are pylons. And apparently, that's where you puke if you're like in an airplane and it's coming down, or just sitting on the bench. Well, one of the two.
Just in case, for the people that don't know what a pylon line is, basically it's a traffic cone. And he had it flipped.
The audience ain't that
down.
Dumb. No, I'm just kidding. It's got a hole in the bottom, dude. What's up with that?
So there was no trash can on the bench this night.
Yeah.
So we literally just shoved this thing. It was like cut in half already, so even wider spill port.
Okay.
Shove it into the railing on the bench, just yakking into it.
And he got roasted.
Oh, yeah.
Roasted on TikTok.
1,500 live. People on TikTok roasted me for that?
That's what I love about stories of veterans, man. Because the cool thing is you don't have to cover the microphone to cover your shame.
That's my only help.
But no,
shove it down
we fuck shit up, but the thing is we're honest, and it's just like, you did it, and move on. And you probably got a call sign out of it, which is Pylon, apparently.
That's Mr. Pylon.
See, no, it's just Pylon.
Mr. Pylon. It's not like, you know, Erickson from Detroit Red Wings, who just basically play like a pylon. Yeah. And, you know.
I could at least move around a little bit.
We would appreciate if he could play like a pylon.
Yeah, at least they move. Is that that's the whole thing?
Appreciate you, Captain.
Sure.
No problem. All right, I'm going to let our goalie come in.
All right,
get his
hell yeah, man.
He's got to get going to work.
I got you. All right, we got the goalie coming in. All right, brother.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's happening, man? Thanks for coming in and doing this. You're the goalie, all right?
I am one of the goalies, yes, for Patriots Hockey.
What's your name?
My name's Eric.
Josh O'Brien. Nice to meet you, Eric.
Nice to meet you, brother.
Cool. What branch were you in?
I was a Marine. Is this on?
Yeah, it's on. It's
okay, good to go. Yeah, I was a Marine.
Cool. I was a CB, so I spent a lot of time with you guys, man. What years were you in?
I was from 08 to 2012.
Sweet, man. Were you stationed out here?
I was with 2-3 in Hawaii.
Oh, lucky bastard, man.
Yeah, I guess, you know. Like being broke.
Or were you deployed a lot, though?
Kicked. Yes, we deployed.
That's why I was like, lucky bastard. Then I remembered you guys fucking deploy quite often.
Yeah,
so I was like,
Mardiv, yeah.
Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to send you to a nice, nice, beautiful place that you'll never see ever again. You know what I mean? So
it's
cool, man. Thanks for coming. No, I'm fucking with you.
Tony actually has personality. You just got to pry it out.
Yeah, I do.
It's a goalie, man. You got to, you know.
We're kind of weird, man. Plus, yeah, I'm deaf. So, you have to ask. I'm probably going to ask you to say the same thing over and over
again. Goalies
so
are a different breed.
Yeah, totally. I think Chris Osgood's like the only normal dude that was a goalie, you know, other than that. You know?
Yeah, well, that two-piece combo was pretty sick, too, you know. But Hasek definitely.
Hasek was out
there. The goat.
Wah was kind of out there. Like, Wah would get violent.
Those are the two guys that idolized were Wah and Hasek.
So that's how, is that how you got into being a goalie then?
Yes, absolutely. My first number was 33, and so an old coach said his daughter wanted the number, and so I switched to 39 because of Hasek.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Best fight ever was Wah and Osgood.
That one was good. Vernon was good, too. I like both of those, man.
Ozzy was like 4 feet shorter, man, getting his ass kicked, but he was throwing punches, you know. It was a good brawl, but that rivalry was great.
Yeah, he's like throwing. But Ozzy's my hero. Vernon? Yeah, that was the first one. Yeah.
That was a good scram, yeah.
Vernon and Wah! It was great, too, because like the Colorado Avalanche, you could hear how one-sided the audio was on that.
Because
he wasn't saying the other half. And Wah, another one from Wah, another one from Wah, a Wah from another one. But they're totally not calling anything from Vernon.
No, yeah.
So, you don't want to really call the punches you eat.
So. No. You're not calling it against the team, man. So, yeah, all right, so 33-39. That's cool. Two amazing goalies, Wah and Hasek. And then how old were you when you started playing hockey then?
I think I was nine.
Nine? Okay, cool. So you were doing hockey before the Marine Corps.
Way before the Marine Corps, yes.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up here in L.A., so I've been a Kings fan since we had Jamie Storr and Stéphane Fissé and Rob Blake and
Ian
LePerrier. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I was a diehard, Detroit fan because that's close to where I grew up, you know? So you should always go with where you're from. That should be your team.
Stevie Y's a
go-to,
man.
Dude. But when I was stationed out here in 96, I spent most of my career here, and I'd call the Kings my mistress team because, and then like the only jersey I would wear that was like not a Wings jersey would be like Robitaille or something that used to be a Red Wing. So it was like, it was okay to wear something other than, that wasn't, your home team. And then I started collecting and I wear everything except for a Colorado. I've never worn one of them. It's the only jersey I've never worn.
You know what? But those, I think that third jersey that came out with those white numbers, those look pretty sick.
Still
and those pads are absolutely badass.
Man.
I'm not a fan of the Avalanche, but I respect a good team.
No, that was...
Can't swear on the podcast.
Oh, I can't?
Oh, fucking A. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah,
bad dudes.
Fuck
bad butts.
That's, you cunts.
Oi.
Oh, boy. Jeez. No, but that was the whole thing. That whole rivalry, the Detroit, Colorado, I had nothing but respect and hatred at the same time for that team because it was so good.
It was always great.
It was just so good. Peter Forsberg, one of the best natural scorers ever. Joe Sakic, amazing leadership. Yep. It was like Detroit and Colorado were always in a mirror playing each other.
Yeah,
it was,
and both captains
were
19. So
yeah, it was nuts.
That was an interesting thing too.
Hell yeah, man. That's cool that you got into that. And it's like whenever I meet people, like so many people are from LA, and I'm from Ohio originally. So like. Just south of Detroit, across the border. So I'm always tripping out. Like, what? You're from here and a Kings fan?
Oh,
that makes it so much cooler, man.
Yeah, I've been with them since, I think my first game I went to was in 93 at the Forum. And they played the Canucks. It was Kirk McLean. And I think it was 6-2 the Kings won. Yeah, I think McSorley got a Hattie or something like that. I know he got a fight, obviously.
Another 33 for you?
Yeah. And that was the first time I ever been to a hockey game, and it was great. My dad took my brother and I to a game. It was awesome.
Hell yeah, man. And then, where did you deploy to when you were a Marine?
I was with 2-3 Golf, so we went to NOWSAD in 2009. And then we went again into NAWA in 2010/11.
Then when did you get out?
2012.
So I thought you had like a point there. No.
Someone coming in?
No. I want to do some ASMR. Zach, all right, go ahead, man. Zach wants to share a beer with everybody off camera.
Some ASMR. Where's the salt?
So. There you go. Fuck yeah. So, how'd you get in the league? Did I already ask that?
I don't know how. I was on Instagram and I saw a Patriots hockey advertisement. Yeah.
Dude.
And for some reason, I said, oh, yeah, we're starting a veterans hockey team in LA. I was like, oh, shit. And I've never played ice before. My parents couldn't afford
it. Oh, so you're like a roller hockey guy the whole time?
Yeah, I've been playing inline my whole
life. Oh, okay, cool.
This is my first time playing ice, so.
My buddy Earl Skakel, stand-up comic, he used to play inline all the time. Always throwing, posting pictures about that. He's an LA guy. Comedian.
Well, I mean, it is a lot more affordable, I'll tell you, man.
Yeah.
I think it's, well, I play at an inline league in Mar Vista inline hockey, and it's free for goalies, so that's a price I can afford,
Dude, that's awesome. That's
it's great.
Like swingers clubs for couples. Oh,
yeah,
my God, it's free.
My team's absolutely horrible, so it's not like these guys.
Yeah?
Yeah, if these guys played inline, I'm pretty sure we beat them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You'd beat us if we played in line?
No, we would get our asses kicked by the Patriots. Okay. And I wouldn't play for them. I play with the Patriots. I want to win, damn it.
Okay, so yeah, you played with the Patriots today, right? Or
goddamn right, man.
I was gonna say, man, this way you just put yourself on a different team.
No.
Yeah. But that other goalie, oh my god, I was telling her, so I was like, the dude just looks like, all right, eight more minutes. Can I go now?
Oh, he was big mad.
He was like ready to roll.
He checked out halfway through the second.
We took his soul.
Yeah, right through his five hole.
He's gonna come in with a little one line.
That's it, man.
That's what you're good for, Zach.
Great,
I just sit here and look pretty.
Yeah. Shit.
What the hell?
Either way.
How long are you in?
What's that? Oh, 96 to 2016.
Jeez.
So I did 20 years as a CB.
Yeah, thank you for your service, dude.
Yeah, I loved it, man. It was fun. I did 8 deployments, 3 combat, you know, so it was just like, it was fun. Like when I went in, it was 7 and 7 out order deployments, and then it changed to 12 and 6. So like you would go and then you'd be in Okinawa for 7 months and then you'd come back and then for 7, then you'd go back out to Puerto Rico for 7. And that little thing called 9/11 happened. We actually had to do our job because before, I mean, it was like, you know, hurricane reliefs and earthquakes, whatever happened, natural disasters around the world. CBs would go there. And then like some of my school, or I'll tell you, one of my craziest deployments, like the second one was Puerto Rico. You go to Puerto Rico, you're building a galley, cafeteria, whatever you want to call it. Right. And then I get sent to Honduras to go build schools. And then, you know, you come back to Puerto Rico and it's just like, that was your deployment. And then, you know, 9/11 happened. It's like, okay, well, go to Fallujah. And then like all the IEDs, people don't know this, is that somebody has to fix those holes, you know? So right. Second IED happens, we're out there and we're fixing the hole, patching it up. And a lot of times, you know, we're doing it under fire. And thank God for the Marine Corps, because you guys are covering our ass a lot of times. Sometimes we'll have our own convoy security. But usually we'll have, like, we'll augment some of your guys' gun trucks.
Right.
And that way, you know, you guys are covering our ass. We're pouring some concrete. You know what I mean? Like, shit's coming in. Mortars are coming in. You guys are zapping them. And we're just like, well, we better hurry the fuck up. Let's get the fuck out of here. I have some Maker's Mark in my room that nobody knows about. Because I could smuggle liquor. Don't tell anybody.
I didn't hear it. I don't know what you're
But that's about. What I'm saying. That's good times. But yeah, no, it went by quick. And that's one of the reasons why I do this. I had a buddy of mine who was Security Forces, Air Force. And he ended up killing himself. You know, he was a stand-up comic. And he took his own life. He did a lot of the convoys and stuff while he was on active duty. And he was like one of my best friends in stand-up comedy. This was after he was already out. And Sean Michael Malik was his name, you know, and then
God bless him, man.
He was a good guy. And it's just like, you know, the transition's shitty. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just so much that we don't know. And then whenever I can see something, especially what you guys are fucking doing, you know, a reaching out thing that's so inclusive, you know, for veterans, doesn't matter how long you were in, how long, if you fucked up, you fucked up. And you know, you can be honest with your brothers.
Good old Copenhagen.
And then, yeah, dude. And you just get through it. You're out. Take care, brother. Thank you. So, most definitely. All right. Take care. That was Kelly Chase taking off. All right. Well,
morning.
I guess we'll start wrapping some things up, dude. God bless you. Thanks for having me. Most definitely. So when Malik, you know, took his life, it was just that was a moment where I was like, dude, this ain't cool. And I was like a little bit past my halfway mark in my career, you know, in the military. So it was like, there's got to be something better. And that's why I started doing a little bit more teaching on active duty. And then when I retired, that's one of the reasons why I kept doing this shit right here. So I can figure out different ways to get people together. And it's awesome what you guys do. And anyway, enough about my sad fucking story.
Oh, man, it's good to hear.
You guys sending anybody else up? Are we going to wrap soon, or this is it?
I think, honestly, everybody was super confused. They're all, like, downstairs.
By the net, and I'm like,
well, Brent came up and was always down by the net. Okay, so we'll go out there.
Yeah, they're literally all at the bottom of the staircase.
We're going to go outside.
Yeah.
They probably met right, this
night. So, more impromptu coverage outside.
Well, I'm going to wrap it up, so you guys, honestly, like,
wrapping
you
it
guys
up
got
no
anything
fun.
You guys want to fucking plug? Websites? You did that once before.
Yeah, that's all this, man.
We did that in the first half.
And October 29th, I know you guys plugged already, but fuck it, we'll plug it again.
Phone's telling me it's going to die soon.
Phone's like, we're done.
Yeah, it's like fucking... Yeah, it's like, hey, man, but thank you, especially fucking Devil
God
Dog.
God bless you, man.
You are...
Oh, that's a blatant trip right there.
Navy. Hell yeah. Man, captain of the team.
On the other rink.
All right, gents.
This is the vice president.
I'm not the captain.
I was pointing at the captain of the team.
The Viking warrior.
I'm irrelevant out here.
All right. So, anything you guys want to plug? Anything you guys have personally you want to talk about? Nothing like that?
No, we've already got it all covered.
All right, sweet. Dates coming up, anything? All right, we're good. So I'm going to cut it off then. So for all those I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I led, thanks for making me a better person. And this is where the fuck the bozos thing comes in. Remember, keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos.
Fuck the bozos.
And never forget, Obi loves you. And we're out.
Hurrah.